Job 9. When Dread Meets a Daysman. How can mere mortals prove their innocence before God? Job 9:2, New International Version. Job answers Bildad's tidy retribution with something far weightier, a vision of the unanswerable God. He knows the hymns. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Job 9:8, New International Version. And he names the constellations like an ancient astronomer: Bear, Orion, Pleiades, the Chambers of the South. Archaeologists tell us these star names were common currency across the ancient Near East. Job stands beneath a shared sky, confessing a sovereignty his culture would recognise, yet, with a moral ache, few dared voice. But Job is not dazzled by power. His question is relational: Yitzdak Imel, how can a human be in the right with God? The courtroom runs through the chapter. Job longs for a mochiach, an arbiter, literally one who proves, some decides. Someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me. Job 9:33-34, New International Version. In the Mediterranean world, an arbiter might lay a hand on each party to restrain and reconcile. Job wants a hand upon both, heaven and ash heap. Notice the shame language Western readers miss. If I wash myself with snow and cleanse my hands with lye, bore ancient alkali, you would plunge me into a pit so that even my clothes would abhor me. See Job 9:30-31. Garments signify social honour. Job fears a stain no public verdict can lift. Even if he were declared clean, the community and his own second skin would recoil. Job 9 teeters on blasphemy to some ears. When disasters strike, it can look as though God mocks the innocent. Scripture preserves this perception without endorsing it as final. We are meant to feel the moral vertigo, and to keep reading. The God who passes by unseen, 9:11, will one day pass by again in a storm-tossed night. Jesus came to them walking on the lake. Mark 6:48, New International Version. Greek readers heard an echo. Job's treading the heights of the sea becomes the Nazarene's footfalls. The one Job cannot subpoena steps into the witness stand himself. Gregory the Great read Job's daysman as a prophecy in reverse. The absence sketches the outline of Christ, the one mediator between God and mankind, 1 Timothy 2:5, New International Version, whose two natures are the two hands laid on both parties. At the cross, the rod is lifted, dread is displaced by adoption, and the courtroom becomes a throne of grace. For us, after Bildad's moral algebra, yesterday's reflection, Job 9 warns against demanding simple causality and invites a deeper reverence. It also sanctions bold speech, honest accusations prayed to God, not about God. And it calls us to live mediated lives, bringing our cases to Christ daily and bringing others to him with us. Cross-references for meditation: Exodus 33:18-23, Mark 6:48-51, the God who passes by, Amos 5:8, Job 38:31-33, constellations in the Maker, Timothy 2:5, Hebrews 12:18-24, 1 John 2:1, Christ our Mediator's Advocate, Daniel 4:35, none can stay his hand. Hebrew poetry notes, Mochiach 9:33, arbiter umpire, one who proves a case. Treads on the heights of the sea, Bamotei Yam 9:8, any conquest imagery. Israel's God alone subdues the chaotic deep. Hyperbole and irony saturate the chapter. Job uses cosmic doxology to press a legal plea. Hymn for the heart. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. The hush of dread that turns to adoration before the mediator who descends. Prayer. Lord Jesus, true God and true man, lay your hand on us both. Remove the rod that makes us afraid and teach us to speak truth without despair. When your ways are dark and unsearchable, walk our storms and let your passing by become presence. Grant us reverence before your power, courage in our pleading, and rest in your mediating love. Amen.